So title of today's message is Everyday Disciple, Where Are Your Treasures? And really good morning. It's been a great morning already. I got to meet a lot of you. I won't remember all your names, but really great to meet you. My wife and daughter are here this morning, and it's just a privilege to be able to come here and share the Word of God with you, the Word and works of God, and pray that our good friends, Tina and Todd, have a great, refreshing, a renewing vacation and a safe vacation. So I'd like to welcome all of you here today, and especially those viewing online. Hopefully you can get here take presence in the community of this church. It's an awesome church, and I pray that you can do that. To tell you a little bit about myself, I'm currently the missions and outreach pastor for Riverside Community Church and have a real passion for missions. And to begin with, I wanted to share or refresh, sometimes we forget, we all leak a little bit, who we are and when we have accepted Christ as our Savior and what He has done for us and what He will continue to do for us. So who you are in Christ, who you are in Christ, who am I in Christ, what does it mean when Christ is in me? You're no longer identified as an orphan, and it was one of the points on the second song. You're no longer identified as an orphan. You're part of Christ's big family. And one of the things I love about mission trips is I get to visit other countries, other churches, and we all share that passion for Christ. It's a word that is eternal, and it's never changing, and it gives us a common ground to build a community around. You're forgiven for all your sins. He died for us. He took away all of our sins. And you see the world in a different way. You can't go back, and I pray that you don't go back. And it's one of the things that we, as we get farther into this sermon, that we want to stand by the door and help people not go back. So you're adopted into God's family, and you feel at times, especially during worship, you may feel His love beyond all measure and enough many times to bring you to tears. And sometimes you feel the grief that God feels. You see what's going on in the world today. You see people that have not accepted Him, that don't know Him, and what breaks His heart. So when we've accepted Him, we are complete in Him, who is head over all rule and authority. When we accept Jesus for who He is, we become entirely new creatures. And your pride is tied up around how you're serving Christ, not about how much worldly stuff you have. You need to know who you are in Christ so you can fulfill what God and Christ want you to fulfill. Your life, a life that God intends for you to be better and greater than anything you could imagine for yourself. And God intends that life for us and a freedom when you accept Christ that the secular world talks about. They say you're free, especially in the United States. But it really never gives you that, what they say they can give you. It never provides that freedom. Only Christ can provide that freedom. So the state of churches in America today, what I see, we need to raise up the church. I feel compelled to call us back to our priority as a church, and this applies to every church. Not that I think you as a church left it behind, but just as a reminder of what really matters and why we're here. If somebody came up to you and said, why do you go to Kiske Valley Assembly of God? Why do you go? There's a multitude of answers, and they're all really good. I love the music. I love the worship time. I love the atmosphere. I love how I'm greeted in community. I love the kids' ministry. I love my small group. I love Todd's preaching. I heard that this morning. I love how Todd and Tina pray for me, or whatever it is. And personally, I love how I was welcomed here about a month ago on my first visit. It was a very welcoming visit, and I love the little gift packages you have. So, and I still use a coffee cup, right? It's a really nice mug, you know? It's got just the right amount of coffee, and I don't have to keep refilling it. So it's a great, great thing. But there's an overarching reason why I think you've come to Kiske Valley, or at least maybe if you don't recognize it yet, maybe this would be the overriding reason. Because you see, all these other things I mentioned are wonderful things, but no one as we're human, can't be 100% on these things all the time. So if someone were to say to you, why do you come to Kiske Valley? One of the things I know you would probably say, I love my church because it's a Christ-centered church. It's a Christ-centered church. And you keep the main thing, and that's talking about Christ and reading his word and learning about his word. And that's a big deal, a really, really big deal. There are a lot of churches who aren't Christ-centered or are falling away. And you guys are certainly not there. You are there. You're a Christ-centered church shining the bright light of Christ. And I witnessed that again firsthand when I visited you. I felt your welcoming love. I saw how you lifted up Christ. I saw how you lifted up each other, and it was great to see. But the problem the church has, any church, if we're not careful, suddenly you can be making the main thing the wrong thing. And you can see that as you travel in, around Pittsburgh and around the world. It's so sad. So in other words, picture with me a church that was built as a beautiful church. And you see that everywhere. And you can find them all around the world, not just in Pittsburgh. And so once upon a time, that church was a vibrant church. But they lost sight of what they were to do. And now they're just collecting dust, turning into restaurants, breweries, or parking lots. The Christ-centered means if Jesus said it, we believe it. If Jesus commanded it, we want to obey it. We believe everything Jesus practiced and preached, and we believe it's relevant for us today just as much as it was when Jesus said it when he walked the earth. We believe Jesus Christ is God's only Son, and we believe his earthly life demonstrated and proved this. Everybody matters to God because we're all just flawed human beings doing the best we can on any given day. Everybody matters to God. That's why we just want to lift Christ up and shine his light as best we can to the world. And why I personally stand by the door, and why we should all stand by the door, the most important door in the world. The centerpiece for today's sermon is from Matthew 6, 19 through 24, Treasures in Heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So there's three choices we need to make. Where do we place our hearts? What type of spiritual growth should we be having? And who is the master of your pride? Who is the master of your pride, God or money? So looking at the first choice, the place for your heart, is your treasure in heaven or of earth? So let me step back a few years. My wife and I, we've been going to Riverside Community Church for probably 4 or 5 years, and we've been fed greatly. We were receiving the word and the love that Christ provides, and we felt that we needed to do something more. So we talked to our youth ministry pastor, and we're old. I know we're old, okay? We're old. And it's like, this is weird, you know? But, I asked him what I could do for him. We had lunch, and is there anything I could do for him? And he goes, well, why don't you think about coming on board? And I said, like, why? And he goes, because you're a survivor. So anyway, we talked, and one of the first things he shared when we talked about why do ministry, why do student ministry, he shared a poem from Sam Shoemaker. And Sam was one of our own Pittsburghers for quite a while. But Sam was born in 1893, He died in 1963 and was priest of the Episcopal Church. Sam was considered one of the best preachers of his era. His sermons were syndicated for distribution by tape and radio networks for decades. He founded Faith at Work magazine in 1926. He served as the rector of Calvary Episcopal Church in New York City from 1925 to 1952. And then he came to us for 10 years, 1952 to 62, and was rector of Calvary Episcopal Church in Pittsburgh. And then he retired in 62. But he was the founding influence, one of the leaders in founding Alcoholics Anonymous. And you can think about how many people that man affected throughout the world. It's such an organization. So his poem was Stand By or At the Door. And some of you may have heard this or may not, but I'd like to share it with you. I stand at the door by Sam Shoemaker. I stand by the door. I neither go too far in or stay too far out. The door is the most important door in the world. It is a door through which men walk when they find God. There is no use my going way inside and staying there when so many are still outside. And they, as much as I, crave to know where the door is. And all that so many ever find is only the wall where the door ought to be. They creep along the wall like blind men with outstretched, groping hands, feeling for a door, knowing there must be a door, yet they never find it. So I stand by the door. So I'd like to share with you an experience that kind of relates to that. A couple weeks ago, we took a team from Riverside to the Philly Dream Center in Philadelphia, and we worked in Kensington. And if you know anything about Kensington, it's the open-air drug market in the United States, and it's quite honestly, it's around the world that's known for that, unfortunately. But it's open air. They're shooting up drugs. They're selling drugs. It's a pretty crazy experience. And I was part of the wound care team. And the last day we were in Kensington, we visited Needle Park, which is right next door. And we were going around doing the wound care. And I was having a conversation about salvation with one of the obvious chemical abusers, and he made this comment after we talked for a while that if Jesus was still alive, he would be right here today, right here with us having a conversation. And I said, you're absolutely right, but he is still alive, and we're here to represent him. We're here to show his love. Even though he can't be here, we're here to share his love with you. And that really hit home with him, and we carried on a little bit further conversation and talked about the life of Jesus and what he did for us and how he cleaned all our sins. And it's never too late. He's always waiting for us with open arms. And I asked him if he wanted to get off the street and if he wanted to get off the street today, because that's one of the prerequisites of what they do. And he said yes. So I called our intermediary over. And he came and talked to him, asked him the same question, and the guy said yes. So, you know, I don't remember his name, and I don't know what's happened. I just know that the fentanyl addiction, and they're combining it with a drug called Tranq, it's an animal tranquilizer, is extremely hard to get off of, and pray for that. But I know that God is the only one that can really help him. There's no social thing. So it was just an amazing thing to see God's work, God's word, and representing that and helping him find a way out of the trappedness, because they all feel so trapped. And they will tell you that. It's like a prison for them. So let me continue a little bit further into Sam's poem. The most tremendous thing in the world is for men to find that door, the door to God. The most important thing any man can do is to take hold of one of those blind, groping hands and put it on the latch that only clicks and opens to the man's own touch. So let me read Matthew chapter 9:13. Jesus represented this in multiple ways throughout the Bible. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So now we're getting to the picture of the problem here. And folks, if you think that was just limited to them, think again. This could be describing our world today just as much as it was describing and as we described the Pharisees. Pharisees were very religious people. They were good, religious, very loyal, very diligent religious people. But they got caught up in the religious part of it. They let it go too far into an elitist type of arrangement in the religion of that day. So when the Pharisees, the religious people, these were good church people, when they saw Jesus having dinner with tax collectors and sinners, they raised the question, it's like, why is he doing that? Why is your teacher eating with a tax collector and sinner? The Pharisees were all about keeping sinners out. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Jesus was all about bringing sinners in. So let's talk about where our heart belongs and what distracts you and me from where you know your heart should be. And it's a spiritual warfare that we battle. Are your treasures in heaven or on earthly things? Second choice, spiritual growth, generous or a stingy version? What do your eyes look like? Matthew 6, 22 through 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So take a look at the footnotes here. Matthew 6, 22, the Greek for healthy here implies generous. And the Greek for unhealthy implies stingy. So take a look at those footnotes. This choice is whether we will be generous and grow in our knowledge and giving, or be greedy and trapped in continued darkness. Jesus here is talking about more than just money. He is using a simple illustration that would have been readily understood to the Jewish mind. When we turn off the lights, we can't see or perceive anything because it is just too dark. If we turn the lights on, our eyes are able to see, and we can interpret our environment. If our eyes don't work, it doesn't matter what we do with the lights. They could be off or on. Either way, it's too dark. To the Jewish mind, the good, healthy eye is equal to being a generous person. On the other hand, a bad, unhealthy eye meant that person was stingy or greedy. The lamp is the body of the eye. If therefore your eye is good, healthy if you are generous, your whole body will be full of light. You will be able to understand and perceive spiritual truth. You will be able to understand what is happening around you spiritually. But if your eye is bad, unhealthy, or you are greedy, your whole body will be full of darkness. You will understand nothing. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It is a very dark world when you cannot understand anything spiritually. And as a visible example of this, Riverside, we do a bell ringing through the Salvation Army every year around Christmas. And we have 1 hour time slots, and Rick Rosenberg does a great job and a volunteer leading that charge and fulfilling those time slots. And we always have a waiting list form, but it's done at the Verona Giant Eagle, and we when we do this, it is so telling for the people that give. You can see a posture, a light in their eyes, a light in their attitude when they give. And what is really, really amazing is when they take a child or a young adult and show them how to give or give them money or they do it or whatever. But it is, I mean, you can visually see that. Visually see that. when they give. And then there are those who walk by and ignore you, pretend you're not there. And in matter of fact, they may pretend that worse than you're not there, that you're like really a pest. So it's just a very visible example of what happy people are doing and what people are miserable doing. And it's just really a cool, I mean, it's just so observable in that instance. So what if our ability or inability to experience spiritual understanding is tied to our generosity? Our generosity affects our vision. It affects how well we understand the work of God and how His kingdom works. Generous Christ followers are growing in vision and passion for generosity. And your generosity can take place and come in many forms. So the third way, third choice we have to make, who's your master? Is it God or is it money? Who is the master? Where do you find your pride? Is it in money or is it in God? No one can serve two masters, verse 24. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So there was a time when I kind of like had a question about that scripture. How do you survive? It kind of makes you squirm a little bit. Where do you draw the line? I need to have money to survive, right? And there's stuff I want, right? Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's a new golf clubs. Whatever it may be, the scripture says you cannot serve both God and money. Where do I find the answer? So think about this, and some of you may be able to relate to this because I know I can. My wife certainly can, and so can my daughter. When was the last time you cleaned out your garage or your basement? You guys know what I'm talking about here, right? You buy stuff and it starts laying around and it gets in the way. And then you got to buy totes to put that stuff in to get it out of the way. Then you got to buy shelving to put the totes on. And then if you're really into it, you run out of room in your garage or basement. You got to go buy a shed or rent a storage room to put all that stuff in. And then at some point you forget about what you got and you go buy the same stuff. We accumulate more stuff that the commercials say we can't do without. And we confuse being productive with purchasing stuff. Being productive is helping people find God. There's no other way that you can really, really be productive in this world than helping people find God. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Any of your stuff can get lost or stolen, right? What can't be lost or stolen is standing by the door, holding the door open. The most important door in the world. The most important thing any man can do is to take hold of those blind, groping hands and help them open the door. Go through that door and find God, and then they help others find the door. So now I'm going to ask you, if you would, who should you reach? Think about who you should reach out to, who you should be having a conversation with. Maybe it's someone you like. Maybe it's someone you don't like. Maybe someone family you should reconcile with, coworker, neighbor, something along those lines. And I'd like you to take out a pen and write either the initials or of that person or on a piece of paper on your hand. And I'll give you a moment to do that. All right, so if you have that in mind, and pray for or to God as you try to reach that person, or reconcile your understanding of that person. And it's a great first step to start keeping the main thing the main thing. Christ is all about bringing sinners in and all about reconciliation. And maybe we've forgotten we're not perfect either. Can you remember when you were once walking in darkness? I can. Who came after you? My wife did. Who rescued you? My wife did. Who grabbed you by the hand and walked you through that door? The door to life with Christ is the most important door in the world. So let's start praying for people that we are all in contact with, who we all love and deeply care about. Or maybe, again, it is someone who we have a great disagreement with. And more than anything, We would love for them to know what it feels like to be forgiven and have all of that junk in your life erased and set free and be cleaned for something greater. Let's do that. Jesus was all about bringing sinners in, and we've been called to do the same. Jesus sends you out in compassion and in love and humility, not judgment. Too often the church is known for what it is against and not known what it is for. As a Christ-centered church, we gather here every week to be encouraged and reminded why we must be the salt and light and why we must let Jesus send us out. We gather so we can go make a difference, because you see, the church is not something you go to. It's something you go from. My good friend, Shannon Franks at Riverside, once told me the church is not about the four walls. It's about moving beyond the four walls. I don't know about you, but I need this hour every week. And someone else said that this morning. And sometimes I may need more than one. And if I do, I try to do more service, reading, or prayer. Because I don't know about you, but between now and next Sunday, I'm going to have all kinds of things try to take the focus off of what matters. The news is prevalent. There's so many distractions out there. There's so many ways we can go down a different path. I'm going to have all those kinds of things try to take my focus off of what really matters. I'm going to have all kinds of temptations that are going to make me think something's better than it really is. I need this hour. We all need this hour. And I need a whole lot more than this hour, quite frankly, through the week, to help keep my focus, to help keep my perspective on what really matters. I need that. And as we all develop in our relationship with Christ, we all need to remember, church is not something you go to, it's something you go from. And we should all stand by the door. Let me finish the poem by saying, men die outside the door, as starving beggars die on cold nights in cruel cities in the dead of winter. Die for want of what is within their grasp. They live on the other side of it. Live because they have not found it. Nothing else matters compared to helping them find it and open it and walk in and find him. So I stand by the door. Go in, great saints, go all the way in. Go down into the cavernous cellars and way up to the spacious attics. It's a vast, roomy house, this house where God is. Go into the deepest of hidden casements, of withdrawal, of silence, of sainthood. Some must inhabit those inner rooms and know the depths and heights of God and call outside to the rest of us how wonderful it is. Sometimes I take a deeper look. Sometimes venture in a little farther. But my place seems closer to the opening, so I stand by the door. There is another reason why I stand there. Some people get part of the way in and become afraid lest God and the zeal of his house devour them. For God is so very great and asks all of us. All, and these people feel a claustrophobia to get out. Let me out, they cry. And the people way inside only terrify them more. Somebody must be by the door to tell them they're spoiled. For the old life, they have seen too much. One taste of God and nothing but God will do anymore. Somebody must be watching for the frightened who seek to sneak out just where they came in, to tell them how much better it is inside. The people too far in do not see how near these are to leaving, preoccupied with the wonder of it all. Somebody must watch for those who have entered the door but would like to run away. So for them, too, I stand by the door. I admire the people that go way in, but I wish they would not forget how it was before they got in. Then they would be able to help the people who have not yet even found the door. Or the people who want to run away again from God. You can go in too deeply and stay in too long and forget the people outside the door. As for me, I shall take my old accustomed place near enough to God, to hear him, to know he is there, but not so far from men as not to hear them and remember they are there too. Where? outside the door. Thousands of them, millions of them, but more important for me, one of them, two of them, 10 of them, whose hands I'm intended to put on the latch, so I shall stand by the door and wait for those who seek it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, so I stand by the door. Folks, we're in a spiritual battle for where our heart belongs. There's so much distraction in the world, and so much of the world wants us to, the dark side, stay away from bringing people to Christ, helping them know the Word. So we need to be God's light for compassion, for His love, where you found His love, and be that light for someone else. So I would like to pray for you. Father, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Todd and Tina, and pray that they have a great and renewing vacation. And I'd like to pray for all of those here today, that they continue to learn your Word, continue to grow in your Word, and then at some point where they start to reach out and bring others in and help them through the door that you provide for all of us. You provide the words, the wisdom, the knowledge, the actions, the results, the how-tos. Everything that we need in life is written for us and provided to us. And help us be that light to bring others to your freedom, to your presence, to your holy, holy presence, and continue to help others bring to the door. Father, we thank you for all that you've given us, all the great mercy, all the great love, all the great grace that you give us each and every day, each and every moment. And the Holy Spirit provides us for the direction that we need. We thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.